Welcome to another season of the Campus Tailgate from WGNRadio.com. I'm Dave Ennett, joined by Mike Jacobson. We'll be with you every week here to take a look at the big stories in college football and focus in on the Big Ten, Notre Dame, some of the schools around the Midwest. Of course, WGN is your home for Northwestern football. We'll talk about the Wildcats in a bit, and we'll also visit with Chicago Tribune college football writer Teddy Greenstein about this opening weekend's action. A lot of games Thursday and Friday, but the focus on the games on Saturday and on Sunday. So big weekend and an interesting year, I think, coming up in the Big Ten, Mike. We've kind of seen the Big Ten from a couple of years ago where a lot of people were questioning the conference and talking about how far the league had slipped, and now suddenly the Big Ten is back in the conversation with the SEC as being one of the top two conferences in college football. I never really had a doubt that they were going to be back there, but you've got so many strong teams now in this conference. The depth of the league is better. And I think we'll get some answers this weekend about how strong this league really is.
Absolutely. And, you know, even when I used to cover the Wisconsin Badgers, and that was about 5 years ago, and that's when, as you mentioned, the conference was at a little bit of a downside. And it's taken a little bit of while, but they've built back up. I mean, look at last year. You got Iowa kind of coming out of nowhere. My alum, they go 12-0, and that didn't end the way they wanted, losing the Big Ten championship and then getting clobbered in the Rose Bowl. Look at Michigan State and what they did last year. You got Michigan on the rise with Jim Harbaugh taking over there. U of I finally has a pulse all of a sudden now that they've brought in Lovie Smith. We'll see how long that takes to develop. We're going to have Teddy Greenstein here in a few minutes. Love to get his take on that. And how long is it going to take for him to build up that program? And this is something new for him. He was a professional coach for a very long time. So locally, I think that's of huge interest. And, of course, great season last year for the Cats.
Northwestern, a 10-win season last year, 10-2 in the regular season.
And that was the first time since wins.
Well, they won 10 in 2012, but that was with a bowl
with
game.
The bowl game. So that was the first time ever.
But a 10-win regular season, the first time since the 1995 season when they won the Big Ten,
yeah,
but ended up losing in the Rose Bowl. Now they get Clayton Thorson with another season of experience, and they start against Western Michigan at Ryan Field, an 11 o'clock kickoff on Saturday.
And, you know, in Western Michigan, that's not the easiest opponent to start off the year with. They've got a good team, and they're going to have their hands full here.
Western Michigan is picked to win the MAC, to win the MAC championship game. They were second in the MAC West a year ago. P.J. Fleck has done a great job, turned that program around after taking over for Bill Cubitt. And last year, Western Michigan won a bowl game for the first time in school history. They beat Middle Tennessee State in the Bahamas Bowl. They have a senior quarterback in Zach Terrell. They have a very good running game, and they have one of the top receivers in the country, the top returning receiver in FBS football. So this is not going to be an easy game for Northwestern. But then again, last year the Wildcats opened against Stanford. That wasn't easy game for them, but they won it.
And that went well, and I think that helped set the tone for the entire year. That was a huge win, a huge confidence builder. P.J. Fleck, that is a hot, hot name. Remember that name. So if you're, you know, maybe a casual college football fan, don't know much about him, already been on some of the short list with some of the bigger universities across the country, including Michigan at one point before Jim Harbaugh took over. But that's a guy that who knows how long he's going to be there at Western Michigan, but the reputation he's built up in such a small period of time there is pretty impressive.
There was a little rumbling in Champaign about possibly bringing him in after Tim Beckman left and before they gave the job to Bill Cubitt and ultimately to Lovie Smith. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's no question that Western Michigan is set up for a nice season. However, Northwestern knows that they have to get off to a good start. They have a very difficult Big Ten season, obviously. Everybody does in the Big Ten. But they have a very tough month of October. They start the month at Iowa. Then following their bye week, they go to Michigan State. They come home and play Indiana, a team that went to a bowl game last year. And then they go to Ohio State to close out October. So that's the month that, in all likelihood, will tell the story for Northwestern, whether they can once again contend in the Big Ten West. They finished second in the division last year behind the Hawkeyes, and ultimately that loss to Iowa probably cost them a division title. So we'll see what happens with them against Western Michigan. That game on WGN with the pregame Saturday at 10:30. You mentioned Illinois, Mike, and they are opening the Lovie Smith era at home against Murray State. And this is going to be a very interesting team to watch. Now, I don't know that Illinois is going to have a big improvement record-wise this year, but they were in contention for a bowl game till losing to Northwestern at the end of last season. And you just wonder if Lovie Smith can take what's there, an experienced quarterback with the West Lunt, a defense which does have some talent, and he's a defensive coach. And you have to think, with the changes he's made and his coaching staff, bring in Hardy Nickerson, trying to upgrade that defense, whether, in fact, this Illinois team can make more progress this year than people are expecting. You mentioned a program showing a pulse. What they have done, and Josh Whitman, the athletic director, did hiring Lovie Smith, they've generated some excitement, some interest in the program, which they haven't had recently.
They haven't had it in a very long time. And back to Bill Cuba for a second. I thought in the circumstances that he took over that program, did a great job. 6-win season?
No question.
I mean, you got to – and unfortunately, it didn't work out for him in the end. They ended up going with Lovie Smith and making the huge splash. But Josh Whitman, he had to make a big statement to finally get – Illinois back on the map as a football school. I mean, even on campus there, it's predominantly been a basketball school. Even when they've been struggling the past few years here and they haven't been quite what they used to be, that's a basketball campus. And the fact that you bring in a former head coach of the Bears, no less, and bring him on campus, and you're going to have him sitting in your recruits' living rooms talking to those kids and those parents, that's going to be big. Now, like any class, it takes 2-3 years, or any coach, 2-3 years to build up roster that you want and the recruits that you want. So this year, it's going to be more of a let's establish the mentality, what we want here as an attitude as a team, and try to get that identity out there that'll get some other recruits to say, hey, I want to go play for Lovie Smith in the Illini. And, you know, because there's a lot of competition. I mean, Lovie Smith's going to have to go against Jim Harbaugh in recruiting and D'Antonio. I mean, there's a lot of people he's going to be competing against. So this year, tell him what you're all about. I don't think it's necessarily about the wins. It's more of the mentality.
No question about that. If you look at the Big Ten overall, how strong it was last year, you look at the strength again. You've got the number 6 team in the nation in the preseason poll in Ohio State. You've got the number 7 team in Michigan. You've got the number 12 team in Michigan State. You've got the Iowa Hawkeyes, the 17th ranked team in the preseason, a team which is bringing a lot of talent back from last year. They bring back an experienced quarterback in C.J. Beathard. They're opening the season this weekend in Kinnick Stadium against Miami of Ohio. They're favored to win the Big Ten West, but that division in that conference, even though people do have a tendency to point to the East and sort of blow off the West, I guess. Doesn't seem to be the same level of respect. But it's a pretty open division, I think. If you look at it, you've got Iowa, you've got Northwestern, you've got Wisconsin, you've got Nebraska, you've got a Minnesota team, which I think bears watching, certainly. You've got Illinois and Purdue as well. But I think of the teams I mentioned there, you've got a handful that could end up winning that division. It's not just Iowa's to own, although I think the Hawkeyes, legitimately, with Desmond King coming back on the defensive side of the football, they're legitimately favored to repeat in that division. But you can't really count out Nebraska in year two under Mike Riley. You certainly can't count out Northwestern. Yeah. You can't count out Wisconsin. Any of those teams could make a run at that division.
Absolutely. And I think this is where Northwestern could take advantage, is trying to win that division. And, I mean, you look at last year, they go 6-2 in the conference. Like you said, another year under Clayton Thorson's belt. That's huge. Anthony Walker is legitimately probably one of the best, if not the best, linebacker in all of the conference. You got a great runner in Jackson. I mean, they got a lot of nice pieces there. Fitz has done a really nice job building that roster up.
So you've got Iowa playing Miami of Ohio, a Purdue squad which has struggled hosting Eastern Kentucky, and clearly this is a Purdue team which needs to show some progress this year. They are on the clock, so to speak. Teddy Greenstein, college football columnist for the Chicago Tribune, bound for Lambeau Field in Green Bay, the frozen tundra, not yet frozen. The LSU Tigers ranked number 5, taking on the Wisconsin Badgers in probably certainly one of the 2 or 3 most anticipated matchups of this opening weekend of the college football season. And I know he won't be doing a Lambeau leap, will you, Teddy?
If I could, I would, Dave. I was actually reading about it, man. Apparently it takes a lot of athleticism. And a lot of those football players, those NFL guys, say if you attempt to do it late in the game, you are taking a risk. So I won't. I think it's unfortunate, though, and I'm not even kidding, that the college guys, Wisconsin and LSU, won't be doing it for fear of penalties. I mean, if the no fun league lets you do a Lambeau leap, the NCAA should let them do it too.
Yeah, I agree with you. I believe it was Les Miles who told his players, anybody who tries it has to find their own ride home.
Right, right. I mean, come on now.
And if Les Miles says that, yeah, one of the goofier, more charismatic coaches in all of college football, then you know he's serious.
That guy eats grass. I literally eats grass. I mean, he's zany, and yet he's worried about a 15-yard penalty. That is disappointing.
It's like, come on.
But I can't imagine what the atmosphere is going to be like in Green Bay. And I noticed this week we're in the All-State Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue in the Tribune Tower. I'm watching LSU fans walking by our studio on Thursday morning.
That's it, man. They got apparently 22,000 official tickets, and everybody's saying there'll be 30,000 LSU fans up in Green Bay. And, you know, I'm doing a story for the Tribune about the fans. I mean, in some ways, you know, it's a huge game for the teams, no doubt. I mean, LSU has national title aspirations. Wisconsin, I think this game is just kind of, if they can somehow win, it's a huge bonus. Nobody expects them to. But for the fans, it's enormous, especially the LSU fans, because they've been through just a brutal, brutal summer in terms of, you know, shootings and this flood. So I think a lot of them have been looking forward to this trip for a while, trying to get out there and enjoy some football.
A little payback possibly in mind for maybe payback's the wrong word, because that would be presuming they can win the game, but with the coaching change on the defensive side of the ball for the Badgers, do you think there is maybe that's an undercurrent to this game?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little interesting wrinkle, definitely, Dave. You know, Dave Aranda left Wisconsin. He was making about $525,000, and LSU comes in and says, "Hey, you want to coordinate our defense for $1.3 million a year?" So he says, "Yes, I do." And also, he's a potential successor to Les Miles, so it certainly makes sense that he would make that move to the SEC. And we've certainly seen over the years how Wisconsin loses a lot of assistants because the Badgers just don't pay as much as some schools do. So, you know, Dave Aranda did an amazing job with the Badgers over the last several years. Certainly had some good players, but really was developing 2- and 3-star guys into all Big Ten players. So now he's dealing with studs. He's dealing with guys who are going to play on Sundays. So I think he feels like this LSU defense could be just superb.
Now, Paul Chryst, obviously more of an offensive mind, and it's early on in his era here as the head coach. When you were talking to the players, you had mentioned you were up there a little bit up in Madison talking to them. What is the atmosphere like, and how has it differed from regimes in the past, whether it be Bielema, Anderson, or whomever?
Mike, Paul Chryst is a nice guy, and he is about the most boring guy in front of a podium that I've ever heard. I mean,
I don't know if I wrote this coordinator. Yeah.
I don't know if I wrote this or I meant to, but I mean, his quotes are the equivalent of 3 yards in a cloud of dust. he can take a really fun topic and just, you know, throw some coach speak on it. So when you're dealing with Wisconsin, you want to deal more with the players, and they usually have guys with great personalities. Sojourn Shelton is a cornerback. He had a good quote. He was saying that the new defensive coordinator, Wilcox, similar to Aranda, he says it's just like making pizza. The sauce and the cheese are still the same. It's just a question of what toppings you're going to put on that. So he was good. Vince Beagle, the linebacker, was really good. I quoted him the other day and talking about, you know, how it's just a total fight for tickets. You know, all the players get 4 tickets, and the in-state guys are trying to battle with the out-of-state guys to get as many as they can. But in terms of Paul Christ, super solid guy, deals well with quarterbacks in the offense, but not exactly, you know, Jim Harbaugh or Fitz when it comes to quotes.
Teddy, before you joined us, we were talking about Northwestern's very tough schedule in the month of October. But
yeah.
You look at this Wisconsin team, and it wouldn't be a shock if they're 2-5 later this season after and maybe be a little better than they were last year, but they just won't have the record to show for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's inhumane what happens starting on September 24th when you're talking about at Michigan State, at Michigan, home for Ohio State, at Iowa, home for Nebraska, at Northwestern. I mean, I don't think it's possible for any team to have ever had a tougher start to the Big Ten season. So really rough. And, you know, this is part of what happens with expansion. You get so many teams. You play only half the teams, you know, 3 of the 7 on the other side. And, you know, it's the luck of the draw. I mean, you know, Northwestern has a much tougher deal this year than last year, adding Michigan State and Ohio State. So kind of stinks for certain teams, big break for others, and it'll even out over time. But that's probably small consolation.
All right. As somebody who covers the Big Ten all year round and certainly week to week during the football season, give us your quick thoughts on Northwestern aside from that rigorous schedule. It's going to be tough to win 10 games once again, given that schedule, but they do have some positives this year.
Absolutely. Now, I'll preface this by saying I have not been to a single practice. I think I still know more about the Danish women's badminton team than some of these Big Ten teams.
All right, well, let's talk about them a little bit, Teddy.
Let's do that. Absolutely. They're spectacular. But, you know, when I think about Northwestern, I think the defense will still be rock solid. I mean, losing Dean Lowry is tough, but I think the secondary will excel. And then we're all just curious, will there be some semblance of a passing game? I mean, you probably can't go two consecutive years winning 10 games and being maybe the worst passing offense in the country. So I think Clayton Thorson is going to be so much better. We're all counting on that. And hopefully he has some new guys to throw to, because when you think about, you know, when this team had great offenses and, you know, when it was Persa and Kafka and Coulter and Simeon in the, you know, Simeon's first 3 years, they had targets. You know, they had the Jeremy Eberts, and we need, you know, Northwestern needs guys to emerge, reliable guys who can get open and catch the ball.
Iowa, who did not end the way they wanted, Big Ten championship loss and then that embarrassing loss to Stanford in the Rose Bowl, but was that more of a fluke in your mind, or do you think that they're going to be, you know, I know they're favored to already win their division, but do you think that they could actually win the Big Ten?
Certainly win the West, and, yeah. You know, if you win the West, let's see who comes out of the East. I mean, let's see if Sparty can exceed expectations, or if the youth of Ohio State, you know, can really gel come November, December. And, of course, let's see about Michigan. But I think Iowa is the class of the West. I mean, that's the team that I would absolutely pick to come out from that side. I mean, the Rose Bowl was just shocking. I mean, I think that was the fluke. You know, I don't think their season was a fluke because, you know, they were really good almost every week. I mean, they caught a couple breaks here and there, beating Wisconsin. You know, certainly could have beaten Michigan State. I mean, I was watching the other night that game was being replayed, 22-play drive. You know, I think at least one fourth down conversion. So The fluke last year wasn't the 12-0. The fluke was that Rose Bowl game where that team looked like it was just unbelievably slow playing in mud. So I think this is another very, very good year coming up for Kirk Ferentz and those guys.
All right. Reasonable expectations in year one for Lovie Smith.
You know, I think 3 or 4 wins. I mean, it was going to be tough anyway. And then, you know, when he's dealing with more injuries on offense and key skill guys, you know, Mike Dudek and all that, it's just a really tough go. So Illinois fans, you know, have to be patient. If they can start 2-1, beat Murray State, beat Western Michigan, which is a 50-50 game at best, and lose to North Carolina, you know, then you're getting in there, you're looking at Purdue at home, at Rutgers. Maybe they scrap it together at the end and give Northwestern a good game. But, is not a very good team. I mean, Dwayne Smoot is an excellent defensive lineman. He's a guy who's going to play in the NFL, but there's not a ton there. So Lovie's going to be judged by, you know, years 2, 3, 4 and beyond.
One more for you here, Teddy, and just it's kind of a two-part question. A sleeper in the Big Ten and maybe one team that takes a step back.
I think a sleeper, maybe you say Penn State, just because, you know, things were so screwed up there last year with Hackenberg, clearly not getting along with the offensive coordinator, not getting along with Franklin. That was probably poisonous to that team. So, you know, as James Franklin likes to say, they find, you know, the sanctions are fully behind them. The offensive line is now more stocked. So, you know, I don't love James Franklin as a coach, but if you were looking for a team that nobody's talking about that maybe could show improvement, it would be Penn State. What was the second part of your intriguing question, Mike?
Team that might take a step back.
Team that might take a step back. You'd probably have to say Michigan State. Losing all those great players. You know, I still think they're pretty good at quarterback with O'Connor. He was absolutely outstanding last year in Columbus in that upset. But you just wonder, you know, Michigan State, if, you know, that's kind of a void and they've done well winning so many close games. You think about the game against Michigan last year that maybe Sparty falls a little bit this year.
Okay, I lied to you. One more question for you. You're going to be at such a historic venue at Lambeau Field today, or not today, but this weekend, I should say. And I have friends, actually, that go around each year, and they like to visit one Big Ten stadium that they've never been to. What is the best Big Ten venue to watch a football game at?
Other than Ryan Field?
Other than Ryan Field, of course.
Okay. We'll knock that one out. You know, I would probably give you three. I'd give you Wisconsin, Penn State, and Ohio State. Penn State, a night game, maybe if it's raining a little bit, maybe it's a whiteout. That place is so loud, it's incredible. Now, it's complete torture to leave. You know, you might be stuck in your car for 2.5 hours, so you gotta plan that one. Ohio State is the most impressive. If you can get low, if you can get on the field and look up into those seas of red, that is the most impressive facility by far. And then Wisconsin, man. I mean, you got to jump around between the third and fourth quarters. And the atmosphere outside, the beer is flowing. So those are three not to be missed.
You know, I would only differ with you, I think, Teddy, on, well, my favorite is Wisconsin, outside Ryan Field. But I would go with Madison. And one that, and I've been there during a whiteout at Penn State. And if you could see the field, you're right. You could certainly hear it. There's no question. But the one that I've really enjoyed, and I didn't think I would, is Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, Nebraska. I think that's a really special place.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, the two that I didn't mention in that first batch that you have to be a legit Big Ten fan, Nebraska, especially as a rooting for the road team, because everybody says they're the most respectful fans.
Even
if they beat Nebraska, they say thank you for coming.
Yep.
Flip side, an amazing venue is Iowa. You are right on top of the field. The fans are nasty, but it is a great atmosphere, true football. So that's another one not to be missed. The Big House to me is impressive, but generally overrated. Purdue, I think you'd be better off going to a softball game.
All right. Well, listen, you're certainly not going to be at a softball game this weekend. Travel safe to Lambeau. Have a brat for us, I guess, and enjoy the game and have a good time. Thanks for taking the time to be with us. We appreciate it.
Enjoyed it, guys. Have a great first weekend. Take care.
All right, TG. Thanks man.
We kind of got a mention there at the end for the Big House, but you didn't mention him in your top three either.
Well, it's certainly impressive.
I mean, I shouldn't say
111,000 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing that struck me the first time I went to Ann Arbor was that from the outside, Michigan Stadium did not look the way I expected it to, because it's built sort of down into the ground.
Yeah.
Now, though, when they've added on the luxury boxes and they've built up one end of it in particular, I think it is a more impressive sight from the outside than it used to be. But I would differ with Teddy on one. I've always kind of liked Purdue. And now I've been there when it's been full.
Yeah.
Now, it hasn't been full very much lately, but I think that Ross-Ade Stadium is kind of a cool venue. And
I've been there too. I don't think it's that bad at
yeah,
all.
That's one that I do kind of like. But anyway, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Campus Tailgate, our first one of the season. We'll be back with you every week during the college football season here at WGNRadio.com. And so we certainly hope that you will subscribe to our podcast and join us each week for a look at college football. That's Mike Jacobson. I'm Dave Ennett. Thanks for being with us. You've been listening to the Campus Tailgate from WGNRadio.com.